Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's God's house, and He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you all, you're glad you're part of the family of God. Amen. Amen. That we have been talking about the Beatitudes, and as she said, quite often, the spirit of the Beatitudes, what they stand for, is in direct contrast to how we teach our children and grandchildren, and how we instruct fellow employees to act in society. The first two Beatitudes were completely contrary to the thinking of today's world, and so is the third Beatitude, which is the subject of our message this morning. And it's found in Matthew chapter 5, and it's verse 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, and if you'd like to follow along in your Bible, please do so, or choose one from the pew rack in front of you if you didn't bring yours today. Matthew 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. May God add His blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. These Beatitudes were taught by Jesus on the mountainside at a time when He was at the height, really, or the beginning of the height of His ministry. And many people today, including a lot of us here this morning, question how the meek could possibly conquer the world and be given possession of it. Or why would they be given possession of it? Because the world, as Amanda told us during that children's message, thinks in terms of strength and power and ability and self-assurance and aggressiveness. Go get them. You know, be a winner. Be successful. You know, climb above your fellow man or woman. Excel at what you do. But Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And in addition to what was recorded by Matthew as Jesus' message on the mountainside, other or authors of the Bible also spoke of meekness. Paul admonishes us to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility towards all men. Titus 3:2. In Galatians, Paul instructs us, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. That was in the letter to the church at Galatia. In his second letter to Timothy, Paul writes, those who oppose him, and he's speaking of the Lord's servant there, those who oppose him, he, the Lord's servant, must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. And finally, James writes, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. In these verses, the word meek has been translated humble and gentle. It's also been translated in other works as modest and lowly. And to our society, unfortunately, it means that a person is weak. Yet, understanding meekness as weakness is to totally misunderstand this third beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. First, I want us to consider what meek is not. As I said, meek does not mean weak. And let us look at the opposite of weakness. Meekness is not a natural quality. It is not one of those qualities of a person or of a person's personality or of their being that is natural to them. There are people who seem to be meek, appear to be meek when we think in terms of the definition of meek, but they are not meek at all. They are simply lazy. And meekness does not mean laziness. Now, the opposite of meekness is self-assertive, ambitious, pushy, haughty, cocky, egotistical, vain, conceited, etc., etc. We can find many examples of this type of behavior of people in the Bible. But one stands out particularly. It's a character who was mentioned by John in his book, 3 John, by the name of Diotrephes. Several characteristics about this man who caused a tremendous amount of trouble in the church stand out. First, Diotrephes was self-assertive. He was a man who loved to be first. He wanted to be in control. He wanted to be the one that made the decisions. He wanted to have his way. Diotrephes refused to recognize authority. John said of him that he would not even recognize us, meaning those disciples, those who had gone out to disciple others in the name of Jesus. When they came into the community, he would not recognize them. Diotrephes was a malicious gossip that spread rumors about people in the church. Diotrephes caused serious disharmony in the church. And if you get a chance to read that third book of John 3, you'll see that he was quite a troublemaker in the church. And it's sad because there have been so many over the centuries who have possessed the qualities, who have possessed the attitudes of this man. And they would certainly have trouble with the third beatitude. Now let's look, that's what meekness is not. Now let's look and see what meekness is. Actually, meekness is compatible with strength, with authority, with power, and only two people in the entire Bible are actually described as meek. And both had great authority and power. In Numbers 12:3, we read, "Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth." But yet Moses manifested great courage and leadership. He, Moses, who was meek, was the greatest man of the Old Testament, and he certainly was not weak. And of course, Jesus was the greatest of them all. Not only just the greatest man of the New Testament, he was the greatest man that ever walked the earth. And he was described as meek, but he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus was a meek person, but he was not weak. He was humble, he was gentle, he was loving, and he was kind, but he had tremendous courage to stand up to the false teachings of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. He had the courage to drive out of the temple those who were desecrating it with their trade. He had the courage to endure and despise the cross and despise the shame of the cross, even though he had the authority to call heaven to help him not have to endure what he endured. True meekness has nothing to do with inward discipline, has to do with inward discipline and not with outer weaknesses. To understand the word meek, it would be helpful for us to discover how the word was used. The word translated meek was used to describe anger under control. Sometimes we think a meek person never becomes angry, but such is not the case, for even Jesus became angry. He demonstrated anger, and the meek person has discovered a balance between never showing anger and showing too much anger, between too little anger and too much anger. The word Greek meek was used to describe strength under control. It was like a beast who had been tamed. I know some of you in here are horse people, and you have broken a horse. And many of you maybe have watched someone break a horse, or maybe you have seen that on a television, in a movie, seeing someone break a horse. A horse is a beautiful, strong animal. It can be a very useful animal, but in order for the horse to be useful, it must be broken. And when it is broken, it is just as strong as it was before. But yet, it is under control. The horse's strength comes under control. It's strong but gentle. It becomes submissive to the bridle and to the bit and to its master as well. Such is the picture of what God has done in us. We are creatures who want to sow our wild oats, who want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. But God wants to bless us and use us. And before he can do that, we must become submissive to him. But so many of us resist being controlled, and we must be broken. A meek person no longer fights against God, but submits to him. And that is not natural for us as human beings, to submit to the control of someone else. It is not our nature to do so. From the beginning of time, after the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, man has fought against each other because man wanted to control other men. And those men resisted. They did not want to submit. But to understand this even more, let's look at two examples from the Bible. The examples being Peter and Paul. Paul was a self-righteous Pharisee. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Jew among Jews, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. He was zealous and proud and arrogant, and God had a plan for Paul's life, but Paul fought against that plan. And in order to use Paul, who turned out to be the greatest evangelist this world has ever known, God had to break him. Paul persecuted Christians. We know that he held the cloaks or coats of those who stoned Stephen to death and was proud of it at that time. He resisted any attempts that God had to break him and to use him. He kept kicking against the goads, so to speak, until the day he came down to earth literally. He was on the road to Damascus, and a light shone so bright, brighter than the noonday sun, that it drove him to his knees and he was blinded. And he came to know Jesus in a rather dramatic way, and his life was never the same after that. He became the greatest, as I said, evangelist that the world has ever known. Peter was a coarse man, kind of a bully. He even liked to bully the other disciples. We're told from his description that he was a big man, a fisherman. We can imagine the strength that he had in pulling the nets in with the catch day after day after day. And he was kind of rough around the edges. And he claimed that he would never deny Jesus, that he would be willing to die for Jesus. And Jesus told him, no, that you're going to deny me three times. And had it not been Jesus, I can just imagine Peter might have gotten up in somebody else's face and said, you don't say that anymore. You take that back or you'll have to deal with me. But he told Jesus, oh no, I will not deny you. I am willing to die for you, Peter said, but within less than 24 hours, he had denied Jesus three times. And then when he heard the rooster crow, he remembered what Jesus had said. And he ran from the fire inside that courtyard. He ran outside the courtyard and he wept and he wept. He had been broken. God had broken him so that he could use him. And less than a few short weeks later, he stood and preached the first Christian sermon and 3,000 souls were saved. God may have to break us so that we will be submissive to him. And the process can be painful. You keep resisting God. You keep resisting God. You keep turning your back on God, and he wants to use you. He wants to be a child of his. He wants to bless you. And it can be a painful process. But remember, if God begins his process to give in, be humble before God so God won't have to humble you. This is how he molds us and directs us. And if we're receptive to that, the breaking process is easy. But if we resist that, and if we may resist it to the point that we don't ever allow him to break us, and then we spend eternity in hell. So remember that blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. Meek, not meaning weak. And if you've been convicted and the Holy Spirit has been knocking at your door, touching your heart and saying, let God use you. Let God mold you. Let God bless you. And you've been resisting that. But now you feel that you need to accept that gift of salvation, we invite you to do so this morning. Or if you've been turning your back on Jesus, even though you have accepted him as your Savior, as we sing a hymn, say a prayer that he will forgive you, and he will, and renew your resolve to serve him. Our invitational hymn is number 281, Speak to My Heart.